so glad that you joined us again. This is another edition of Truth is Freedom, and I am your host, in case you didn't know, Pastor Cheryl. Thank you again for tuning in. The number for you to call in, but if anyone want to be calling, well, let me give you this up front, 657-383-0613 is the number you're going to want to call, because I have two very successful, spirit-filled, committed, and all those other positive words, couple. And that's the killer. And they're a couple. They're all of that and a couple. So all that they say is about marriage, now they come here to smack that down, because marriage is good for them. For those of you who may know them or heard of them, real hear of them, we have the elders, the both of you, right? Elders. Maria Mann and Ali Tunja. I'll say it again, Ali Tunja Mann. And they are here to share some of that good blood they got.
Amen.
I met this couple for business, but I must say the relationship is becoming more and more pleasurable. Thank God for all.
Amen.
Thank you for being here and taking the time out. I know your schedule is like silly, crazy, filled up and everything. So for you to open up this slide, I really, really, really appreciate it.
It's our honor, for sure.
All right.
So tell me, like, where do we start? Okay, that's it. They're a couple, so they're married. They also have a business together. They also labor in the ministry together. They also sing together. They also parent together. I mean, let's keep going. What else do y'all do together? You know? They live together.
Yeah.
You know? The thing that we're going to talk about. First of all, I would like to know, caller, I know you're there. Don't go anywhere. So just hold on for me 1 minute. Tell me about this business that you guys have brought together that you work so, you know, diligently at. What is it, does it do, and how did you get there?
Well, yeah, it's called Norwell Healthcare Services. What we do is we do home care for elderly and anybody that's sick, you know, do personal care, ADLs, things like that, just to help people get from one point in their day to the next with their daily activities and things like that. You know, we also are working on a assisted living facility where we would, our whole idea really is about being in the community, you know, allowing for, you know, a lot of sick people or people that's ill really would prefer to be in their own home or in a home-like setting, you know, rather than in a hospital. You know, it's a lot of things going on in the hospital. They don't always get the attention that they need. But yet, and still at home by themselves, they still can't get that attention that they need,
right,
and be safe and be at home. So there's always a dilemma. And home care is, you know, I don't care how much you love a loved one, and you know that is really, really tried when you have a sick loved one at home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we believe that, you know, what we do is a ministry. You know, we go in with the intentions of working at bringing love to. And some serious spirit, you know, into our relationship with our clients. I mean, we don't go in proselytizing and things like that, but, you know, we let our work do what we do. And that's pretty much what it is. How we got here,
my dad was sick, actually. And we back ministering and doing community outreach in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And we moved back here. My dad was sick. He went to the hospital for a routine checkup. Came out on 4 liters of oxygen. He was just really, really messed up.
Oh.
And they sent him to what they quote-unquote call a rehab. And I went in there just one day to check him out. And it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Change shift. I totally get the percent change shift.
Okay.
I put his light on because he was, my dad was able to walk. He was able to communicate. He was able to get up and move. But he was not in a place where they had him with a brief on. Trying to figure out why he had a brief on that day. He didn't get to go to the bathroom.
Right.
So put the light on at 3 o'clock. Well, needless to say, 4:15, they had not seen the scene about him.
Okay.
And I said, this will never do. I put his clothes on. I took him out. I took him home. I said, well, I don't know how to do this. This was a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
So from that, led me into taking care of my father. And God always puts you in a place where he equips you to do bigger and greater things. And did not realize that that piece right there was going to catapult us into taking care of just numerous amount of people and also helping with a really devastating thing that happened to us about 2 years ago with my husband's family. So God has prepared us then to be able to be equipped with what we do now.
So would you say that this is definitely... I'm going to ask this question, and I ask it because so often you hear the horror stories about what happens in these nursing homes and different things,
right,
and people
right.
out there. And I've always said that that's just not a job. That's something that you have to really be appointed for. You know, and that's why so many things happen, because people are going there to get a paycheck.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they're really, that's, you know, you can go to, you know, maybe sell shoes or tires or something for a paycheck.
Right, right.
So you're talking about managing
absolutely.
And caring
absolutely.
For a person. That would you agree that that's something?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I know, just gift of the spirit. I know that my gift is servitude. I know that without shouting. I know that that's what God has given me to do.
Okay.
And I started working into the nursing home. I started that, and I was appalled about some of the things that I saw when I worked in the nursing home, because I'm thinking it depends on us to live. I don't mean just to put their clothes on. I mean, some of these people are in these facilities because they actually need you to help them to live every single day. I'm talking about feed them, bathe them, get them up, just live. Because if you don't put your hands on them, if you don't take care of them, they will not survive.
Mm-hmm.
So when I walked in that environment, it was just so overwhelming for me in the beginning, because I was running around there with chicken with my head cut off because I'm trying to help everybody.
Right.
And I would go home just wore out and just... Every day when I go to work, I got to the point where I would go on days where I wasn't scheduled to work because I was so attached to my client there. And my husband, who I absolutely adore and love, he said, you have to, because this is going to drive you. You got to get out of this room. Because I was literally getting up in the morning, like, I got to go to work. I can't even schedule today. Where are you going? It's like, well, you know, such and such needs. And I know if I don't go take care of him, no one's going to take care of him. So it's like, you really, really need to get out of this. So we prayed about it.
I'm glad you listened to your husband.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
was a good.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because we want people like you. Don't misunderstand.
Right, right, right.
I love the
right.
dedication of you. Yet, it can't get to a place where you can't be.
Right, absolutely. Right.
Well, you know, one of the things. In all respect to nursing homes and the people that work there, I mean, it's a big job.
It is.
It's a big job. And unfortunately, the pay scale and things like that, it attracts a certain type of people with a certain type of urgency to, you know, a certain type of populace, you know what I mean, that they got to work. And
yeah.
they don't pay them a lot to do the work that, I mean, that's one, is taking care of the elderly and sick people is a very, very important job, but you really wouldn't know that here in America. You know, you really wouldn't, you know, and so, you know, they don't do as good a job as they need to make sure that some of these people are prepared to really deal with what's there, plus the bureaucracy. I mean, just, you know, just looking at how the healthcare and things like that is going as today, period, you know what I mean? I mean, with people barely wanting to get paid or getting from the government or from wherever, and then with the money being funny with everybody in recession, things like that, because if it's not coming from the government, it's coming from the insurance companies, and we know that that's been an issue. And then if it's not coming from them, it's coming from, you know, And everybody is in a state of panic or unrest or something. So they come into work, they're dealing with whatever they got to deal with, you know, at home, then they got to deal with this and getting underpaid to deal with, you know, to deal with all these people. You know, some of these places have you dealing with 12 people with one person, and you got to go in running. And you ain't got time, you know, and sometimes more than that, you know. And so some people get overlooked, and that's unfortunate, you know. So thank God for options, you know.
Yeah.
Thank God for options.
Yeah, you guys are a good option.
Yeah.
You know, people like yourself who are more, would you say privatized, are you? You live a little bit more private?
We are now. We're moving into, and that's the thing, you know. Unfortunately, it's hard to operate in this kind of field because healthcare is so expensive. You know, we can't press our clients to or just look for those that got money. You know what I mean?
Right.
Everybody needs, you know, fair and good home care. They deserve an opportunity to be taken care of. And that's
the poor need for the more.
Right. And right, exactly. I mean, they can't pay for it, you know. So we're forced to deal with, you know, the government and things like that. I would love to be able to do something like this on my own, but I can't do that, you know.
Okay.
And we're the type of people where we don't pass anybody by.
Okay.
And that's a positive, and also it can be our detriment sometimes as well, because we're so invested in whomever we come in contact with. It gets kind of overwhelming because they become your life. You know, they become a part of your everyday. And I'm grateful for that. And I wouldn't have it any other way, because I thank God for being in a place where I can take my skill and actually tamper on someone.
Make a difference. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then that's always been my thing. I want to go in the door knowing that they're excited to see me, but when I leave, they're comfortable and they're okay. They're glad I came and can't wait to see you the next day.
Okay.
So, yeah, that is really a goal for us.
Caller, I haven't forgot about you. Thank you for holding. Could you please tell us your name and where you are calling from? And what is your comment or question for this? Caller, are you there? Is your phone muted and you forgot? I know I've done that. Call me. It is talking away on mute. 1789 is your number. Well, until you work it out, we'll keep going. So now, it sounds like your business is your ministry.
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference? You're business owners, but you're also elders in your church.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. I struggled with that conversation for a long time. I'm saying, well, you know, this is my ministry, but I'm getting paid to do it. And I started going through this real serious issue in my head about what am I doing. I felt like some kind of vulture waiting for people to just get sick or something, but so I can pounce on them and take care of them. Or, you know, doesn't that sound crazy? I'll pounce on you so I can take care of you and get paid to do it. You know, and so I had to look at the heart of the matter. The reality is that, I mean, the Bible says it, you know, you can't muzzle the ox that treadeth the corn, you know. So if you're working, you ought to get paid to do that,
Amen.
You know. And you know, there's examples of that in service and things like that. But I just had to come to grips with where I was at and my motivation for what I do,
mm-hmm.
you know. That's the difference. I mean, I expect to get paid, you know, but I also expect for you to expect for me to come in and do the best job I could possibly do plus. You know,
okay.
if I'm at that point, you know, of the day, some days it's more difficult than others, you know, more challenging. But my goal is to be just that, to try to bring, you know, my ministry attitude into, you know, because even in ministry we can get caught up with some kind of give and take type of thing, and we expect more from ministry than we're willing to give. We want to live out of the promises and not look at the struggle.
Right.
You know what I mean? And realize that this, you know, sorry, God dealing with me right now. I was a couple of shades lighter. And this is how I deal. This is how me and God work out, and you know, and how I work out with my clients. You know, what I mean, I really want to make sure that I'm walking in the door, you know, with a good attitude and trying to be of good service to these people. You know, and I mean, because again, I mean, I've had opportunities, you know, to even extend other parts of my service. People ask me, you know, who I am, you know what I mean, because of how I do what I do, you know.
Okay.
And I say, well, I can go to the fact that my mama did this for years and it's all in our family, you know, and how I got here. But I'm going to tell you the truth. It's really the fact that God put me here.
Amen.
You know, and, you know, and I let them know this is my experience, you know. I mean, it's whatever it is. Some people are just good people. Well, I have to work at a little harder than most. So, you know, God knew that I needed him to be able to show me how that works, and he put these people in my way to be able to do that, you know, so I can't be selfish.
Okay. I hear you.
I also heard you say that you got to come in the door with your ministry. What is that? How would you explain? Because I'm asking you, the sister, man,
okay.
Because I know y'all are one of the same.
Okay.
So he made the statement, but I need you to answer it.
We try to always first plant first. A good attitude, making sure that we always put God first. Because there are days where it's really trying. There are days where you just really, really don't feel like it. I mean, that's just in any job aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole idea is, okay, you're here, do a job. But not only that, you want people to know that there is a part of you that God talks to.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever want to walk out of a door and say, well, oh, my God, we definitely don't want them from back here. They, you know, they're just, no. But
you're reading my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, my
God, they don't want them coming back. You know, we just always want to be in a place where we're helpful, that we're giving, that we're loving in everything we do. And there's not too many times that we don't go up and beyond. There's sometimes we have to pull ourselves back because we do too much. And God deals with us on that level because we get in there and just for now we have my husband has a client and who has adopted him as son. You know,
okay.
It's like, well, my son is. He ain't got here yet. He'll be here. And
yeah.
He's so attached to him, he'll call him all hours of the night and he'll answer. He'll get up. He'll deal with him. But you have to have boundaries. You know, you just have to have your boundaries. You have to make time for us, you know, and that's the thing. We've been in this thing for 17 years, and I mean, literally, from the time we met until now, we've been together, doing everything together.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh my God, it is.
So we're gonna get into that topic also. The number again is 657-383-0613. So give us a call, and we'll get you right in. You've been together, I heard, 17 years. Is that really all of it? Did y'all have some time before y'all got together?
Well, it's been more than 17, actually. It's, we met in 97.
Yeah. So we
got married in 98.
Together, 17 years. Because we married a year to the day after we met.
So y'all didn't mess around.
We didn't mess around.
Y'all knew what was
going on. Oh,
yeah.
That whole butterfly thing, he's sitting across from me, and I'm like, what? What is this? Why is this guy just all in me? I mean,
why he bothered me?
Right? Why? It was nothing like standing out about him. He just had on a green polo shirt and some blue jeans. And I'm like, what is it about this guy? Oh my God. I couldn't stop looking at him. My stomach was turning. And I thought I was just really hungry, but no. But that wasn't it. I really believe that God was preparing me for the true man for my life. I really believe that God would put this man in a place where, because I was coming out of a really, really bad relationship. I was
okay.
I was just out to just. I had my kitchen dirt jeans on. I was like, you know what? We just gonna party. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I'm gonna just go out here. And I'm just party. That's all it's about. And I don't know. It was just something about him just sitting across, we weren't talking, he just sat across from me, and I just was like, okay, we didn't get about this guy. But I do understand that God has a meaning for everyone's life.
Yes,
you know, and I really believe that he was my meaning for my life. Because not only did he give me a true man of God, someone who was going to be a head of my household that I truly needed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not able to have kids, but God put me in a place where he gave me four children.
Wow.
So I really believe that everything, there's no such thing as happenstance. I say that a lot, but I don't believe in happenstance. I think that everything is ordained by God.
Sentition.
I absolutely believe that.
I was in a bad place too. I was coming out of some relationships, some crazy situations, and like she said, I got four kids, and I was a hot mess. I mean, I just was. I had tore through those women's lives and tried to be who I felt God wanted me to be. And I mean, I really tried to introduce God to those women, but in my brand of doing that. You know, and and they hated me. Hey, wow, they did. And I was young. I started young. I got married at 18, 19 years old, and I just knew I needed to be married. I don't know. My mom put it in my head. I saw destruction around me, and I said, oh, so I set out to do better. Well, I set out to do better. And so with that came a lot of lumps. And a lot of me falling and fell into some addictions. And, you know, now I got these kids and they became my passion. And so I thought half-heartedly.
Yeah.
I wanted to live for them but didn't know how to live, you know. And they were here, you know. And I had custody of three of them. And, you know, it was just not a pride. It was just out of pride. I mean, I thought I could do better. I didn't have some experience or a desire, but... You know, and I'm not saying she didn't. It was just tough. You know, I respect that in her, definitely. It was tough for both of us, but definitely her, because she was a little bit younger than me, quite a bit younger than me, you know, considering to be married.
Mm-hmm.
And things just didn't go well. So I tried that twice. I didn't get married twice, but, I always wanted to be married. And I got to the point where I went out and my cousins looking at me and they said, you need a woman. You know, and they're always trying to hook me up with somebody. So they who they thought was good or whatever. They tried. They really they loved me. Yeah, they was. Because apparently I wasn't doing it right. I wasn't doing it right. Because I got loose. I got broke. And I got broken, didn't realize I was broken and stuck. Didn't realize I was stuck until it was too late. And when I met Marie, it was, I'm trying to push a certain part of my life away, and I'm like, I don't want to deal with nobody. I don't just want to be here and party. We was in a club when we met.
Okay.
We went
y'all came there with one thing.
Yeah, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it is.
Right. Because, you know, it what wound up happening was they pushed us, and I said, oh, well, push me. You know, it was like, why don't you go and talk to that girl? I said, I don't know why. And I trust their judgment. I do, especially my one cousin. I really trust her judgment. And she was like, you know, talk to that girl. I said, I don't know. And she was everything that I wasn't looking for in a woman. Yeah, she was, if I dare say, fine. But I wasn't my brand of fine. I just had another idea how that makeup looked, you know. And God just used some real simple things, man, for me. And like, what did happen though is that we did hit it off immediately. I broke some rules and some things that I never did, you know, as far as relationships or dealing with people when you first meet them. Certain things you just don't do. You know what I mean? You just don't do. You know, simple things. You know, too. So, you know, and I don't know if it was, you know, some of them other spirits talking or whatever, or something was going on, but, you know, there was something more, you know, and when I got to know her a little bit longer, I realized my desire, first of all, again, I wanted to do it my way, you know, I needed to be married, not just because I had these kids, but I was still terrified, too, you know, my kids needed a mom, but I was so protected of them because I had allowed them to be hurt in these situations before. You know, and it's not that I was doing the greatest job. I just didn't need, if I was going to mess it up, that's between me and them. But I can't have you coming in here messing it up, you know. And I didn't let her meet my kids for 4 months or something. Yeah, before, you know, and
she over there nodding.
Yeah. And she was
you
great.
Know, it was strange because, you know, I know who I am. I know that I'm great with kids, but he didn't know that.
Right.
And one of the biggest things that really attracted me to him was that he was brutally honest from the very beginning. I mean, brutally honest.
I was tired. I was like, look.
Well, you know what? Then you go and spawn off
everything
you did in the person's life.
Right.
Wait a minute.
Right.
That's the thing I was
going to ask. Absolutely. So I didn't really know, I didn't really think that he had kids, actually. No, I didn't because he would not let me. I tried every tactic in the book. I would bring videos and he would come out to the car and tell me, like, thank you. You know, we'll get together later. I'm like, hey, what's going on? So he finally let me meet his kids. I mean, literally, like, almost 5 months in. And but I understood that. I truly understood why he waited because his children so much they are so loving. You know, they were just in a place where they will love on you. And I made spaghetti and it was over. I was in.
I was in. You know, she came in with food and it was a wrap. And she is very, very one of the gifts that my wife has is that she is a nurturer, you know, along with a hard worker. And, you know, so she came in just doing that. I mean, it was easy for them to just fall into. There was no opposition. You know, we had some rough times because I was afraid and I had baggage. You know, she's out of a bad relationship. And she was kind of like at the end of that thing, and I was just kind of like flopping around, like, well, I don't know what I was doing, you know, and terrified, really, about what was about to happen next. I wound up moving down there with her, and because she was in a very good job, you know, and she lived out of town, and you know, I didn't want to make it seem like I was bringing in my stuff. You know, I had just started back going to school. I quit my job. God had put me in places where I could kind of grow, you know, but I bucked against a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, he caught me at a young age and had me out there, you know, helping fathers and things like that, you know, from the time I was 18, 19 years old when I first got married, you know, and so I always had that as a blessing and a curse for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It always was over my head, you know, and I was always something that I was trying to reconcile with.
You made a statement.
I
want to
ask this question. You said I didn't know what I was doing.
Do you think that's
a story for a lot of men that they really just don't know what they're doing?
I think so. You know, I grew up in an age, like I said, I worked in a fatherhood program, and I thought I knew what I wanted. But everything I knew that I wanted was based on the failures of my generation before me. And I didn't know how to deal with that. I just thought I could do it better than them. Everything they were missing, I thought I could make it happen. It was easy. Be a father. My father wasn't in my life, so I ain't going nowhere. My mother made sure had that in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what the was, you know, but what she didn't tell me was that I was going to have to try to keep the woman involved in my life, too. Yeah. She, you know, that was a little different. And so the thing was is that I got a chance to see a lot of these guys in my generation wanting to do this. You know what I mean? But didn't know how. You know, didn't know how to relate, didn't know what to do. They did what good intentions. Good intentions. A lot of these cats, they weren't just deadbeat. They were, you know, and I was blessed to be in a program which was one of its first of its kind. It was the at the time the Teen Father program. And It was a highly spiritual man who just had a knack for communication and knew what the issues were. He knew that the biblical way for men to be men was the answer to the society's woes. Just let men be. His model was, and he would turn the hearts of children to their father and the hearts of fathers to their children. You know, and that comes from Malachi 4:8. You know, I believe in it. And it, you know, lest you smite the earth with a curse. Can I tell you, we're living in a curse today because our men don't know how to be men. You know, and not just our, you know, not all our men, black, white. You know, it's tough. You know, God has entrusted us with this planet.
I'm glad you said that because a lot of people feel like that this man thing is a black problem. You know, and yeah, we do deal with some issues, absolutely. But like you said, but this is beginning to be like, you see all color of men doing the same thing in the same era, the same stage, you know. And I'm glad you said that so we can understand. It's like, kind of like not take the pressure off of you, but it don't make you feel like you the only dodo on the block.
Right.
You know, it's a lot of dodo on the block. Right. Not just yourself.
And unfortunately, they don't talk about a lot of that kind of stuff.
No, they don't. Right. I want to commend on myself.
That's what they say.
You came into the marriage knowing you couldn't do it.
Well, actually, I found that out later on. My previous relationship was just really horrible, and he had children. And I'm one of those people that I don't have to go through it. All I have to do is watch you do it, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm good, right? So he wasn't the best dad. So I knew that I wasn't going to have children with him. I just knew without a shadow of a doubt.
How did you handle that?
How did I handle
knowing that you couldn't have children? Actually, a lot of women, you know, they like.
I've heard all kinds of horror stories about them, you kind of scared of children, how they feel broken, they feel like they're not a real woman, all these negative things that go on, but I'm just interested to know what did that do to you, and what did you... Well, I actually almost lost my life. I had an ectopic pregnancy, which I had no idea I was pregnant, but I had never been pregnant before, didn't know what that was. Go through a series of things and literally almost lost my life. And after the whole hospital thing and I'm laying at home, I'm recouping, and we have our youngest daughter who was like 3 at the time. And I'm laying there like, oh my gosh, okay, so I'll never have children. I'll never be in a place where God is going to bless my womb so I can see my son or my daughter with her dad's eyes, or you know, my skin tone, or you know, my legacy ends here. There's nothing else that comes after me. This is it. There won't be another Maria that's like, oh my God, you look just like your mom. That I won't have that. Okay. So I went through a really serious deep depression for like 5 years.
I could
imagine. I did. It was bad.
How did you heal?
Ali is a talker, and he definitely prayed with me. He talked me through it, and not surprisingly enough, but God knows what to do. His youngest daughter, our youngest daughter, is such a wonderful little girl. I mean, she's a grown woman now, but God placed her in a place where I really needed know that it was okay that I didn't have biological children.
Mm-hmm.
He put this little girl and another little girl who her mom just was like, oh, y'all godparents. and just was like, you know, here you are. And she just made me feel so much like a mom. She would hug on me. She would love on me. And just because of her presence is what gave me peace to say, okay, it's okay. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm still 18 years in, and it still hurts. It does, you know. Because I want to shake my fist up and say, why not me, God? You know, I'm an awesome person. I would be a good mom. I would be a nurturing mom. I mean, I would raise a good kid. But then he put in my spirit, but you did all this. You are a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You raised them. For all intents and purposes, my kids are great. I mean, they're bad.
They're kids.
You know, but I had the opportunity to be in a place where I got to see young men turn into strong but confused men that talk to their dad. And I'm in a place where I can recommend my daughters at 20-something years old and just be like, oh, my God, you got it. And can remember when they were small.
Okay.
You know, I'm grateful to be in a place where I am able to, you know, say, Maria, you're a mom. You've been, and for them to call me mom.
And it's so cliche, you know, and especially for people who have not went through the cycle of pregnancy.
Right, right.
It's so cliche to say, you know, mothering isn't about just giving birth to a child. But there's a lot of people that give birth to a child, but they don't ever experience motherhood.
Absolutely.
You know, so in that respect, I say kudos to you because you have experienced motherhood. And you know, even in that, you got what you wanted. You know,
right,
it's like
right.
we want sometimes think about the act of pregnancy, but really what you want is to be a mother.
Right.
You know, and you did and you answered the call. Caller, speaking of answering the call, I'm gonna answer this one. Caller, are you there? Okay, she's gone again. But we do have to remember that, and I know it's hard because we all want to have our own children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, those little things. Look at her head away, curl up.
Right.
You know, look at that nose.
Right.
You know, you want to see that. You know, but it's just so important to know, though, that you are a mother.
Right.
You did a bang up job of that thing that you wanted. You got the opportunity to do it. I mean, I'm sure you already know that.
Well, it's a daily struggle, you know, because of those realities. You know, part of womanhood is being able to produce. You know, I mean, I'm not a woman, but I mean that's a function. You know, I mean, and a blessing at the same time. And you know, and I always have to be careful with what I say and how I word these types of things because, you know, with dealing with this with her on a regular basis, you know, like trying not to, because I think for a long time, you know, during that period, you know, she looked at me and was like, well, you got kids, so, you know, that was mine too, you know what I mean? But I didn't know, I mean, and we deal with things differently, you know, and I find myself today being more, you know, sensitive to that than I was then. I don't know why, you know, I look at the fact that I lost one. You know what I mean? And I, you know, and that's, and not just, actually I lost two, but, you know, I mean, and I count those, you know what I mean? They were a part of, you know, who I was, regardless of whatever, however they were.
They did.
And, you know, and to me that meant something. And I couldn't, without making her feel any kind of way, I couldn't really express that. You know what I mean? Like, because regardless of what I say, I got four, you know, and, you know, so, and it was just, I just really had to be, you know, firm but really loving with the fact that, you know what, it's okay. You know what I mean? You're not broken. You cool. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but God put you in the right place at the right time for me. Again, I'm selfish, apparently, but, you know, it worked, you know, because it also allowed for her, you know, to be in a position, you know, to work that mother muscle. You know, not everybody know how to do that. You know,
right. And I said, even people who actually deliver a child,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but boy, do we know, you know, really, really deep, that ain't even it.
Mm-hmm.
It's being able to get in there and roll up your sleeves.
Absolutely.
You know, it's easy almost, really, it's easy to see them cold. That's the basis.
Absolutely.
That other stuff, that mental thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, that teaching, that rearing, that is motherly. Part of it, and if I may just kind of stretch this a little bit, he needed a mother.
Yeah,
he needed one.
No, and I'm gonna tell you why you are, you know, why you're there, because
I need to open that up.
No, that's real.
That's real.
That's real because my mom, the pinnacle of motherhood, because she was hard. I mean, she was loving, but she was tired, but she kept us. It was five of us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She could have dumped us all. She was 16 when she had me.
Do it every day.
Yeah. You know, she struggled with us with nothing. You know what I mean? In the middle of abuse, you know, with empty love, not love that wouldn't return to her. You know what I mean? Except through these kids that couldn't even know how to do nothing but beg and get on her nerves. You know what I mean? And she never got, I don't know. My mom was a weird one. I just never felt like I'm the oldest, so, I just never felt like she got what she deserved in life. I wanted to be a part of giving that to her, and I tried my best, you know, but, you know, she was who she was. And it was time for me, you know, to find that other chapter in my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I had to learn at an early age I had to be my mom. My mom was a codependent. It's just who she was, you know what
uh-huh.
I mean? Being raised in an abusive and drunk family, and marrying and being in that thing, but she was highly dedicated, like dedicated to the point where I felt like she was just wanting to be, you know what I mean? I mean, that's hard to say, but like, I'm like, why don't you just leave? Why are we still here? You know, and that's what she gave me the mouth, you know what I mean? Between pops and, you know, like, oh, well, I'm just saying, I didn't understand that, but I needed to know for myself, you know what I mean? How that was and how that was supposed to work and why that was so important for her to be dedicated, you know, and what that in turn meant for me, you know. It made it hard for me to find a good woman. I'm not going to say that they aren't out there, but we all are broken in different ways.
Somewhere or another.
Yeah.
And usually more than one.
Right, right. And a lot of the times it's around relationships and family, that curse that keeps going on. And I did. I needed, you know, and I've just honestly come to grips with that as a reality, you know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? In our relationship, my mom just passed a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And, you know, I know that my mom a while ago felt okay with me being with this woman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She did. I mean, she gave her blessing, you know, because she knew she had to take care of a fool like me. And she she stood there in some hard times and, you know, and dealt with me, you know, and my mom said, yeah, you got you a good one. You better keep it right. You better keep it right. Yeah, so, you know.
Okay, caller, are you with us? And are you hearing us? And can you join us?
Hello.
Yes. Hi. Can I have your name and where you're calling from?
Hi. My name is Sister Delina War. I'm calling from Cleveland.
Okay. How are you this evening? We are here with two wonderful people, the man couple. I like their name, too. What is your question, comment, remark for them tonight?
I just want to say I'm not sure how I got disconnected, but for the part that I got to hear, it was really good to hear from the both of you, and wonderful to hear from you guys again after having met you at the church, at the sanctuary. And I just wanted to say that you guys are an inspiration in the calling that you have with God. And also I hear from this radio show with your business as caregivers. I know it's one of the most difficult jobs out there, because I had to do that with my grandfather, and until he passed. And it is a very, very difficult job, especially if you are emotionally attached to the person. And so I thank you all for that and for sharing that as well. And it is just good to hear from you guys, because you guys really do speak the truth and keep it, as a elder man would say, that's just for real. So I'm glad to have hear you guys talking. And I just wanted to continue to listen in.
Hey, thank you so much, Carmen. Thank you for your comments and your remarks. They are very, very, very encouraging. We have to take a break right now, but we're going to come back. We're going to continue our conversation with the elders man after our break. So stay tuned and remember the number, 657-383-0613. Thank you for listening. We'll be right back.
We got music today. I'm the break. Okay. Hey. Well, this is our break. I got a couple of announcements during this time. The House of Prayer Ministry will host a tribute to Mother's concert. It's going to be a concert held at the church. It's going to be at 6:30 on the 5th. And I know that's a little early, but we're trying to do, I guess we can call it a pre-Mother's Day concert. And it's going to be on the 5th at the House of Prayer Ministries at 6:30. The people who are going to put on the concert is the True Missionary Male Choir. If you've never heard a male choir before, I would suggest strongly that you hear this choir. They really do an excellent job. They really do an excellent job. So we invite you to put that on your calendar to come out. There's no admission fee or no tickets or anything like that. It's a free concert, and it's in tribute to our mothers. So that is, again, going to be May the 5th at 6:30. Please come out, and it's the True Missionary Male Choir. Our next announcement is also Getting Smart in the Park 2016. Be aware of that. That is July the 23rd. This is our fifth year. For those who are not familiar with it, it's held at Luke Easter Park, and it is a informational type fair. We have all kinds of speakers and information there, vendors with information, food vendors. The police department representatives are there, fire department representatives are there. We had the representative there for AIDS detection. Anything that our community is faced with, we try to interject someone there that's talking on it and speaking on it. We have poets that come out, storytellers that come out and tell stories. We have entertainment, so that'll be there, gospel entertainment. We also have comedians. We've had an array of people, you know. So we want you to come out and enjoy that. And I'll keep announcing it up until the time, but it's going to be on July 23rd at New Easter Park. We have a new show also on our network called Managing Your Vote. This show is it's taking you further than casting your ballot. I'll put it that way. Once you cast your ballot, now what? So that's what this show is about. It is hosted by Pastor A.J. Thompson. He's very versed in understanding of the voting process, what the law says that vote actually means, because a lot of us really don't know what that vote means, what it represents, the power that it gives you. It's just not to put someone in office, but there's power that comes with that vote. That's on Tuesdays at 5 p.m., and the number is the same, 657-383-0613, and it's called Managing Your Vote. So we ask that you be aware of that. Some other shows that we ask that you tune into, we only pick shows that we know of the subject matter and what it's about. If it's about sound things, we want to pass it along. This is a couple of them, a young lady, Tina Hobson. She has a couple of shows. One of them is I Am a Superwoman, and she has a lot of women and stuff on the show. Who have come through battles and how they made it over. You know, it's a show of encouragement. If you're having problems or looking at making a difference or changing some of the things you're in, good show to listen in. I Am a Superwoman, and Tina Hobson sponsors that. She also sponsors Spotlight on Cleveland. Different things is going on along in Cleveland. You want to know what's going on. You want to listen to Miss Tina. She's going to let you know what's going on in Cleveland. It's not always entertainment out, you know, places to go like that.
but she also didn't let you know what's going on in Cleveland.
Okay.
So that's something else you want to listen to. And also the Who Has the Power Network, Mr. Charles Yancey, very good network. You want to tune in and hear him. Hip Hop Workshop with Brother Al Porter. You want to tune in and hear him. All of these are sound, informational type shows. So just asking that you would tune into those people. Let them know who's interested. Like that. So we thank everyone for that.
Thank you for listening.
That was our commercial break. Okay. Back with Ali Tunja and Maria.
Is it Marie or Maria?
It's Maria.
It is Maria.
I answer the both.
Okay.
All
right.
Well, yeah. For the sake of being right, I do want to make sure I was saying it right. But they are here joining us. They are a very powerful couple. They are a couple. They are together, and they work together. We've been talking about their business partnership. Then we got off into their marital partnership. And then we got off into their parenting partnership. So we want to start this second half. Tell me about your ministry, if you will. I'm not clear. Are you in a church, part of a church?
You have your own church. Also busy.
You might have your own. I don't know. So tell me about that part.
Well, we are Seventh-day Adventists. We worship over on
Seventh-day Adventists.
Seventh-day Adventists.
Let's give Seventh-day Adventists a hand. I don't have a problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
We worship over on the west side of Cleveland. And you know, that's not our ministry. You know, that's what we fell into. You know, that's not our, it's a part of our identity, but in a place to worship for us. And we get the freedom, you know, to just be who we need to be in the Lord, you know, and in that place. So God had called us from a life of ratchetness. Yeah, we have fell off and fell down, as some people do. And
yeah, don't start talking about me. Just show about
that. Right. And, you know, and what happened was God used those things that was in us. You know, I had been in and out of the church, and this particular church, most of my life, my adult life, me as a minister, you know, following him through my childhood, and I couldn't seem to get that thing right. You know, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know, but so I struggled with some things, and you know, if you want to know, some alcohol, drugs, those types of things, and. You know, but God also put me in a place where I could get that help that I needed years ago, and put some seeds in me from my grandfather, from men. You know,
grandfather put me in.
No, my grandfather was an apostolic.
Okay.
Yeah, he was apostolic.
Yeah,
he gonna hoop him up with the best stuff, man.
Okay.
He really could, and you know, strict. You know, and then I had the opportunity to realize some real Christian people. I had an issue with that, and not long ago I realized that he was one of those guys. Him and my grandmother were really, I mean, I saw the other side. I took them for granted.
Yeah.
You know, I really did. They lived their life, tore it up out there, and he got his life right in the Lord, man, and lived it for years, you know, and came back and got us, and that really became my ministry. You know, he struggled with alcohol, he struggled with family, and that curse flew down through us, even though he got it right in the Lord. He put the cross in it, and all the mess. And not everybody, you know, it kind of seeped through a little bit. You know, some of us didn't get it. Most of us didn't get it at all, you know.
Okay.
But they dodged that whole thing, but all in the wrong way. But I went through all of it. You know, I fell. And I had that at my side and at my back, and, you know, willing to push me, you know, on his teaching. And then it was other guys that were there, older guys, were that showed up in my life, that showed me something, you know. And that was with me being in and out of the church, trying to figure it out. In our relationship with God, you know, I would start this thing. It was like a real life relationship. I mean, you know. But between me and God, I would.
Well, you know, when you're really trying to be truthful about it, it isn't always that you're just cut and dry.
No.
It's always so something church, ooh, hallelujah,
right.
Baptized in the name of Jesus.
Right.
Not at all. You were in and out. Okay, I can say,
like I said, we all come to the cross with different things.
But like myself, I was raised in the church. I stayed in the church. I never left. But I feel it wasn't following Jesus.
Right.
I just got to go to church.
Right.
You know, so in and out or in and ain't and really out of it, it's all the same thing. So I'm glad that you in and that you real. Whatever it takes to make it real, I'm okay with that.
Right.
What about you, sister? What happened with you? How did you end up in this place?
Well, I end up in the Adventist faith because Ali is an Adventist. And so I start to read and understand. And the one thing about, because I grew up Baptist.
Yeah.
So the one thing was when we got together, this thing was, I don't want you to change anything about who you are. I'm not forcing you to do anything. Yeah, but
what a blessing.
But this is what I do. This is where I'm going. And then he walked me through the Bible. And he, I know him because he's a family owner. And everything that we do is. And he just walked me through it. And then walked through his. That's what I had. Really, really bad habit that I had. But yeah, I'm actually. Okay, let me run them down and run them down. Okay, so let's see. Ministry, community outreach, clerk. Yeah, I have a few hats at church. I have a
deaconess,
praying
team,
and
yeah, right.
Your feedback,
I know, right?
Oh, okay.
And you know, and I. It's so funny because I was just having this conversation the other day with somebody, and I was explaining the dynamics of what we do. And I said, well, you know what? God has really given us our tools. Because I am definitely a worker. I mean, I'm a workaholic. My parents darn work ethic. but I am a workhorse, and my husband is just all business. Minded, you know, he can sit down and talk with the best of them. That's not my thing. You know, I can put my hands on
it. Tell me what to do.
Yeah,
give me
and I can run with it. So it actually worked well for us because we are where we are because of his pushing and striding. Because if it was left up to me, I would not be walking in my purpose, which God has me to do. I would still be at a job doing that over there and not stepping out on faith because that was my biggest fear.
Okay.
You know,
what if it don't work?
What if it don't work? I'm all about security. I'm all about, okay, well, you know what? That's a no way.
I know what it takes. I'm the dreamer.
Right.
I'm the dreamer.
Right. So
when I wake up, make a payment arrangement. I know what day to make it all.
Absolutely. So my thing was, you know, this works, but he always said, God has something bigger for us. He has something else for us to do. And I thought, okay, well, you know, let's take it real slow. And it took us, and we started this dream, actually, 15 years ago. We started out this thing 15 years ago. And it wasn't right for us then, because we weren't in a place. And God can bless this
God
business.
Had to break, and that was the thing. God had to break us. He had to break us for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, I had to learn that I had to be more dependable, and you know, I had to work through my demons. You know, and I had to really work with showing up and giving God the glory and being strong enough to carry through. And that the thing is that He took our weaknesses and made them our strength.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just how
you
the
stuff conversation. This is my final question to the both of you. You can take 30 seconds or however you want to do it. What makes the man successful?
Well, success is relative, you know. I would have to really just tell you that it's God, you know, keeping God in our lives, struggling through this thing, realizing that we're not, we don't have all the answers, money ain't going to do it for us, you know, people not going to do it for us, you know, and even though I love my wife, you know, God is always first, you know, and that's the encouragement, you know. I have to depend on her, if I fall, to be able to pick me up as my help me. I mean, it's just that simple. I need for her to be strong, and I know I need to be strong. And so I believe in that, keeping a sober mind, keeping trying to keep a strong spirit, you know, and keeping love in our hearts. To me, that's what makes us, you know, makes us work at attaining that success in the Lord. We'll never, like he said, you know, it's always a journey, and we respect the journey. Sometimes I don't, and I get beat up over the head, you know, with my own demons and my own needs, but that's what it is.
And we have really learned to truly trust one another. I mean, that, and a lot of people...
That was
definitely a working process. But we have really come to the point where I can honestly say that I trust him with my life, and I don't worry about it, because it's going to be all right, either way it goes. So, and we communicate much.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing and encouraging. You know, thank you, callers, for calling in. And I say to you both, that's what I see in you guys. You guys know it's something other than yourself. You know, and I think once we accept that and realize that we ain't it, it's something else, you know, that that will lead us to that successful path. And I do believe with all my heart that you guys are on it. You know, and Godspeed to you, and I expect you too much, and to you keep prospering and growing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah. And we're gonna have you again. We'll have some more stuff to talk about. So, you know, y'all got some more growing to do, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Amen. Well, we thank you so much, and this has been Truth is Freedom, and I am your host, Pastor Cheryl, and join us again on next Friday. Until then, everybody have a good weekend.